Welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. Each week these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Durrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you'll share it with a friend. This evening, Pastor Durrell continues a study based upon the book, Discovering the Gifts from the Holy Spirit, by the late Swedish pastor, Kjell Sjöberg. The majority of Christians are not baptized in the Holy Spirit, and those who are have difficulty understanding God's calling and their gifts. In this second lesson, Pastor John speaks about serving the Lord with boldness and being secure in your calling. All Christians are called to serve the Lord, but that doesn't mean that all believers must go full-time into the ministry. Furthermore, God doesn't call a person to do a job without first having equipped them with the capacity to finish the task. It is our prayer that this study will give you the desire to walk closer with the Lord and firmly know His plan for you. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins a second lesson entitled, Calling, Equipment, and Gifts.
Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank and praise You right now for these moments we have here tonight. And Father God, as we study Your Word, I ask You right now that You would minister to us, instruct us, and give us practical understanding so we can use this in our daily walk. And we thank You right now for the presence of Your Holy Spirit. And this I ask in Jesus' name. And those who are agreed said, Amen. You may be seated. I was going to pull a trick on you here tonight and ask you what I spoke about last week. But I decided to be nice to you, and I printed up the outline I used last week. So, we're looking upon discovering the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Let's just review lesson one from last week. And the normal thing in a church is to see the members as a gift from God. Each person is a gift for or to the body of Christ. So as you look around here tonight, you simply recognize that you are a gift to the body of Christ. Then we learn that every person is unique because the gifts of God that God has placed in you. And the church is like a gold mine. It is our duty to discover the gifts of each member in the church. And then we went through why gifts can be hidden and we are not able to use them. And one is that we have an intimidation by demons. And fear is the most common hindrance for people to discover and use this gift. Then we spoke about inferiority. A person would compare himself with others and then come to the conclusion that he has nothing to offer. By doing so, you are cutting yourself off from the body of Christ. And then the third point was lack of knowledge. We don't understand, we don't know, we haven't read the Bible, and so on. And then the fourth point, lack of fellowship and encouragement. And when you say to someone, we don't need you, you're binding up the gift. And when you say you are needed to someone, then you are releasing the gift. Gifts from the Holy Spirit do not function if a person isolates himself and lives a selfish life. The gifts are given to serve one another. And then point number five, dominating and professionally religious people hinder people from using their gifts. And a few people in the church are doing all the works. And then the last point, refusal to be open with others. We give out of ourselves when we move in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and most people are hiding. Now, we had a lesson here tonight as Charles and I were doing a duet. We simply had to give of ourselves, and we sang a few times. And, you know, it didn't kill us, but, you know, it simply showed us that our pride, that we are not professional singers. So I don't think that any talent scout is going to come and knock on my door very fast. Let's turn now to lesson number two tonight. And if you want to get ready in the Bible, I want you to turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, the first five verses. That's the Gospel of Luke, and chapter 9, we pick it up in verse number 1. Let me read to you from the outline right now. In order to be able to serve the Lord with boldness, a person must be secure in his calling. Let's just look upon that for a moment. In order for you to be able to serve the Lord with boldness, you have to be secure in your calling. When you go to work, whatever type of work you're doing, if you are insecure, let's say that if you are a salesperson, and the customer come up and say, you know, well, what about this product here? Well, you know, I just work in a store. I don't know too much about it. And, you know, they start reading the instructions. You know that that person does not know what he's talking about. He cannot give you any advice. And he's also going to be very insecure, simply say, you know, I don't know nothing about it. There are other times you go to a store, it might be a hardware store, some other place, and you get a salesperson, and they know the product, they discuss it with you, they tell you all things, they answer questions, and you know that this person most likely have used the product. He knows what he's talking about. And so we need to be secure in our calling. If you're not sure about your calling, you'll be very insecure in what you're doing for the Lord. Many people pray, if I only knew my calling, I will be able to do something for the Lord. Here's the good news. All believers in Christ are called to serve the Lord. Every believer is called to serve the Lord. Let's read now from Luke chapter 9 and the first five verses. Then he, Jesus, called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said to them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves, nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece, or a change of clothes. And whatsoever house you enter into, there abide, and thence depart. And whosoever will not receive you when you go out to that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. Now here we now have the 12 apostles, including Judas. And Jesus sent them out to preach, to heal, and to minister, and to tell about the kingdom of God is at hand. Now, I want you to see something right now here. Judas Iscariot had the same gifts as the other apostles. He had a gift of healing. He had a gift of casting out demons. He had a gift of preaching or sharing. God had given him these gifts. He was called to be an apostle or a missionary. The Bible says that God does not remove a gift. And this is why when people backslide, they are still gifted, but now they use their gift for the enemy. Turn now to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. There are gifts laid down in you And if you use them or not, they are still there. They will be there until you die and leave this earth. In Luke chapter 10 now, we find Jesus appointing other 70s. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and set them two and two before his face into every city and place where he himself would come. These were men, 70 other men that followed Jesus. We had the apostles, the 70s, and then we had the women. Therefore said unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray you therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse, nor scrip, nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And into whatsoever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. If you recall my sermon from last week, where I discussed with you the situation in Judea and how devastated the Jewish people were at that particular time, you would now appreciate these 70 orders as they were given this particular gift. They went out. And as we read later on here, if we go down to verse number 9, where Jesus said, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. Think about it this way now. For more than 400 years, the people in Judea, Galilee, Samaria had seen no moving of God. Suddenly now they've been with Jesus, and Jesus now says, now I want you to go out and heal people, cast out demons. These men must have been simply, if not petrified, they must have simply said, well, I don't know if this is going to work. We read now in verse number 17. We don't know how long they were out on this assignment. And the 70 returned again with joy. Now when we understand the background of the people in Judea, they had had no hope, no vision, nothing. And now they returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through your name. They couldn't believe that God simply was working through them. They were fishermen. Some of them were carpenters or whatever they were, tax collectors. And they realized we are normal, regular, down-to-earth people, and the power of God is working in us. That's amazing. That's why they had joy. And Jesus said to them, I beheld Satan's lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents. Now, why did he talk about to walk on serpents? In those days, there were a lot of poisonous snakes there. And they had to walk out in the terrain, and they did not have roads like we do, and cars and so on. And scorpions, when you go to sleep at night, you might have a scorpion come, you don't get under your blanket, get in your shoes. So he simply said this, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. What we have done over the years is this. We have thought about Jews, that they were a super race people, They simply, you know, were walking. They had all the knowledge of God, and they were simply above us. And we haven't understood that they were beaten down, downtrodden, with no hope, and simply existing, hating the Romans, looking for the Messiah. And suddenly now Jesus said, you're going to do all these things. Notwithstanding this, rejoice not that the Spirit has come to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Up to that time, they had no knowledge of personal salvation. They didn't understand personal salvation. And Jesus said, this is great, but rejoice in your personal salvation. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you've hid these things for the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. Now, who is God revealing this to? He's revealing this to babes. People that are simple. It doesn't mean that you can't be educated, but simple in faith. Simply saying, I believe. Let me try to illustrate that for you here tonight. If I hold up my hand here right now, I can say this, that I'm catching at least 20 television stations, if not 50 radio stations, with my hand. I'm doing that. Can you see that? You can't see that. Can you hear that? No, you can't hear it. You must say, well, I don't think there's any signal in here. Well, if we got a radio in here with television set, we get an antenna, you will find out that we have a signal any place in this room. It doesn't matter if you're up on the ceiling, the floor, behind the piano, behind the chairs, there's a signal. There is energy in this entire room. And you can pick it up if you have the receiver. You understand that? The same thing is true with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit power is in his room. It's outside. He's all over the earth. And the Holy Spirit power is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year, year in and year out. The Holy Spirit is here. And all we have to do is to get our antenna up and start receiving. Why can't we receive? Why is it hard to receive? There's a blocker. And the blocker is called unbelief. Unbelief. Who am I? I can't see it. I'm a failure. It never worked in my life. I'm scared. And therefore, the power will never, simply expose itself, or the Holy Spirit will not work through you. Turn that to Matthew 28, and keep your finger in Luke. We're going to come back. That's Matthew, the 28th chapter. You know, we say this, I believe in the Bible from cover to cover. I believe it. But you know, it's a lip service. We say we believe it, but we don't believe it for us. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. Well, let's start in verse number 17. And when they saw him, talk about the disciples now, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Is all power given to me in heaven and in earth? Is that given to Jesus? We say yes, but do we really believe it? This last Sunday, when I was here at this church preaching, it was a pastor up in, I believe, in the state of Indiana that got shot during the morning worship service. Gunman came in, walked out, stood about maybe 15 feet by the second row, and pulled out the gun, started shooting. The pastor held up his Bible. He deflected four bullets with the Bible, and he was killed with the last two rounds he had. Did the pastor have to die? I would say no. If he would have had faith, he could have simply said this, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you, and I refuse, and I destroy these bullets. Some of us says, well, you know, that's easy for you to say. Let me refer you to Nora Lamb. N-O-R-A, last name is L-A-M. Nora Lamb, a Chinese woman. She's in her 90s now, probably. She written a book, China Cry. It's also a movie out. And this is a true story. And I'm just going to take one story tonight because many others have had the same story. She was lined up to be executed. She was pregnant. And she was arrested for preaching the gospel, not as a pastor, but just as a Christian. And this goes back to about 1950 when the Chinese had taken over, the communists had taken over China. And when she went into the prison, she said this, God, I do not want to give birth in this prison. You're going to have to hold a baby until I'm out. I believe she went probably up to 14 or 15 months with that baby. Then they were going to execute her. And this particular guard, he had a pistol. And he said, I'm going to kill you. And he was something maybe 5 feet away, just on the other side of the table. And he pulled the trigger, and that gun would not go off. He then swore, checked it over, pulled to the ceiling, and boom, the gun went off. He tried it again on her, and the gun would not fire. Then they had her out to be shot by soldiers. And the bullet simply went down this way, around this way, and around, and hit in the back the wall. They couldn't kill her. Miraculously, they decided to release her. She came to the United States. She lived down in San Jose area for many years. And has been a preacher, organized many crusades going to China. This is just one testimony. Personally, 25 years ago, I was in a room. We were visiting a drug addict. He had asked us to come. The day before, he had been arrested, violent. It took 6 policemen to subdue him. He was on crank and a few other things. And then he was released the next day. And I was sitting in a couch. I told that story before. And they had a little table in front. Another person on the team was with me. And then suddenly, he just came up, had a syringe in his hand. I had short sleeves because it was summertime. And he said, I'm going to hit you with this. I'm going to push this into you. I'm going to show you what it is. His eyes were bulging. Right in the face, he came charging. My buddy who was with me from the team, he simply sank down to the floor. I had no place to go, sitting behind. I simply put my hand up and I said, in the name of Jesus, drop. That syringe fell out of his hands. His face changed, and he said, "How would you like a cup of coffee?" I said, "I don't drink coffee, but I'll take some water." Now, I believe if I would have panicked, if I would have simply been scared and said, "Oh God, how do I get out of this?" He would have plunked that syringe into my arm and just pumped in whatever he had in there. All power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Ghost. Now look in verse number 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Keep your finger there now and turn back here to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. And you pick up here in verse number 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, "Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through your name." It says here in Matthew, "Teach them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you." And then we read in verse 18. "And he said unto them, I beheld Satan's lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Now you're going to have to make up your mind. Don't say anymore, "I believe in the Bible," unless you really believe in the Bible. All believers are in Christ, are called to serve the Lord. You and I have a general call to share the gospel, pray for the sick, cast out demons, and to bring the good news to people that Jesus loves you. So again, who are you going to believe? Jesus or the devil when he whispers to you, "You can't do that. You are not clean enough. You're not this or that." Let me take a walk now to the outline. There are some believers in Christ who incorrectly believe that only people called for full-time service for the Lord will get a calling. That is wrong. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. That's 2 Peter. If you pick it up in chapter 1, and we're going to read the first 11 verses. Let these words now minister to you as we read from the Bible. "Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us with glory and virtue." Look in verse number 3 now. "According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness." There is divine power given to you and to me. The question is this: do we believe that? We have been so beaten down over the years that we simply cannot believe that, you know, there is something good in me. Every one of us have sinned. And there's not a person here that can say, well, you know, I got a perfect score. We don't. We have been saved by grace. We washed every day by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is His righteousness. And He's simply saying this to us now, according as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. I will urge you to start reading some biographies of Christians in past time, last two couple of centuries. And you will find that these were ordinary people, just normal people like you and I, that suddenly had faith to believe God for something great. I used to say over the years, you got to get your faith out of the cereal bowl. And you got to begin to think outside the box and begin to have faith in saying, I really believe that God is doing something in my life and with my life. And I'm going to respond to God. We have in this room tonight the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is moving through this room here tonight. And the Holy Spirit is simply looking to each one of us, and He's ready to pump in more power into us according to our faith. You and I are the blocks. Look at verse 4 now. Wherefore are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We are partakers of the divine nature. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. That's what we're here tonight. To learn more knowledge. To get faith. To be encouraged. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity or love. This is agape love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacks these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, therefore, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Wherefore, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Our problem is we always have our face in the cereal bowl, and you always think about my problems, my problems, my problems. God said, I'm tired of your problem. Drop that. Move on. Let me share this with you. Approximately 1905, in that area, a young couple from the Midwest went to China as missionaries. They had two children, two small children. And the husband simply felt called to China, and he had gone through training and so on, mission school. And they arrived in China, and once he came into China, He worked there for about a year and a half or 2 years, and then he got a disease and he died. The wife now in about her mid-20s, two small children, husband dead, 1905, 1906, no welfare, nothing. What will she do? She could have simply said, you know, life is not fair. Wring your hands. Oh, God, you know, this is a disaster. She prayed, and God said, go back to America. She worked about a year and did some great things in China. She came back and took up residence in Los Angeles. And God said, start preaching and start a church. Now, I want your attention tonight, because sometimes I think, you know, that when I'm speaking, you know, I feel it's on Sundays, you know, it goes in this one ear and out the other ear, you know, you just sit there, you know, and you says, well, it sounds nice, it's good, you know, but it can't happen to me because you don't know my circumstances. Now, this woman now in Los Angeles, we're talking about right after World War I was over, in the roaring 20s. And, you know, women at that time being single, she was a widow, and two small children, you know, what would you do? But God said, I'm calling you to build a church. And I'm calling you to be an evangelist. I'm calling you to train pastors. But you know the saying, you know, women should not be allowed to speak at a church. Shut up, sit down, be quiet, and let the man do the work. Well, men are not doing the work. So this woman started a church, and eventually the church was growing and growing. The name of the lady, Amy McPherson, Angelus Temple in Los Angeles. And she is a founder of the Four Square Gospel Denomination that has churches all around the world today and have probably led millions upon millions of people to Christ through these churches. She had some mishaps in the ministry. You know, the devil always tried to trip it up, but she stayed with it. And the church is still there in Los Angeles, and the Four Square Gospel denomination is still strong and moving on, and they have not got involved with a purpose-driven life and so on. It's a Pentecostal denomination. Think back now. Here's a woman. If someone would have said to her, you're going to build a denomination, you're going to have tens of thousands of pastors coming out of you, and they're going to touch the whole world. She would have said, well, you know, who am I? I'm just a young woman in my 20s, two small babies. What can I do? Here's what you and I have to do. We have to make up our minds. What are you going to do with your life? Waste it? Or are you going to simply going to say, God, I want to be used. You know, we have lost good evangelists. We've got lost good Bible teachers. We have lost good pastors. You know, if you simply say, God, I'm available, and I know there's a lot of vacancies out there, and I'm willing to be used, God can do fantastic things through you. If you only could kick away your unbelief. Let me go back to the outline now. The also the Christians have fixed themselves upon a geographical calling. You simply says, well, you know, God didn't call me to go to Africa. God called me to go here or there, you know. There's no city. I don't know where to go, so I'm going to wait to my calling until I get a geographical point where to go. There are times when God will give a geographical call when it's needed. But there is a general call of all of us into the ministry. Now turn to Romans chapter 1. Let's see how Paul received his calling, what he said. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separate unto the gospel of God, which he promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ the Lord, which was made out of seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are you also the called of Jesus Christ. Paul had a general calling. He was called to be an apostle. He was called to be a preacher, a missionary. God didn't say when he called Paul, okay, now Paul, you're going to go first to Asia, then you're going to go here, you're going to go there, and so on. You simply have a calling. And God will send you where you need to go. Back in 1975, I was a pastor in Lodi, and one morning I woke up, I talked to God, and God said, I want you to start a radio ministry. I have never been on a radio by myself. I've been on one or two programs for somebody else. I didn't know anything, had no equipment. And I said, God, how do I go about this? And you know, it was just there. So he led me to the Yellow Pages. Hello? I got to the Yellow Pages, looked up radio station. Would you believe that Lodi had a Christian radio station? I didn't know it. God did. Then God said, now, go out and talk to the guy. So I drove out to the station, was down in the area, small station. And the guy says, yeah, we got some time, and this is what it would cost, and so on. And we came to the conclusion it would cost at that time, this was 1975 now, $10,000 to get started. Well, did we have 10,000 bucks? Well, you know, like every all the time, you know, we never have the money up front. So the following Sunday, in a church, we had maybe 50 to 60 people. I got up and says, well, God gave me a vision this week. I'm supposed to be a radio speaker. And it's going to cost 10,000 bucks. And when I said that, now, I didn't have faith. I simply said what God wanted me to say. But I didn't really, I thought, you know, I'm going to say this. Nothing will happen, and that's it. Okay? You know how we are. I'm just sharing with how I was. So I preached, gave the invitation, went down there to receive the people coming up, and we prayed for one guy come up. Shook my hand, looked me deep in the eyes, and he said, I'm writing you a check tomorrow for $10,000. I just said, what? Okay, that's fine. You know, I didn't know what to do. Monday morning, you know what I did? That's how much faith I had. I called his wife. I said, Mrs. So-and-so, by the way, the man now has graduated. He went to heaven about 2 months ago now. And I said to her, Miss So-and-so, I said, you know, did your husband talk to you after the Sunday service? He sure did. She's a faithful little woman. I said, did he tell you he was thinking about giving $10,000? He sure did. And when my husband says something, he means, now get over here and get the money and get busy. Yes, ma'am. I got over there, got the money, didn't know what to do. Went to the Bay Area. I had when we bought a seminary there in Mill Valley, and there was a store there. And I went down, and I bought this, and I bought this, and this, and that. And we put it together. And for 30 years, I was on the radio after that. I did not know that when God called me to preach in 1967. He called me to in a ministry. And then in 1976, God spoke to me another morning. I got up and he said, John, I'm calling you to Sacramento. Go. It took us about a year to get loose of Lodi. Now that's a geographical calling. And I knew that I was called to Sacramento. I knew I was called to Carmichael. This is where we came, we moved around, and we're back in Carmichael again. I want you to think about this now. God has plans for you. Begin to think, am I an evangelist? Am I a minister? Am I a prayer warrior? Am I this or that or whatever it is? It doesn't mean to have to be full time. God, I'm available. And when you pray like that, one morning, God's going to knock on your door and say, I want you to go over here and do this or that or this. Specific callings will come as they are needed. Acts chapter 16. The book of Acts, the 16th chapter. You know, for years, God used the radio to bring people to the church. Some of you came on the radio. And you know what God did when we got off the radio? Then we got on the website, and some of you came because you found us on the website. It's not amazing. Now let me share something with you here that's just happened the last 2 days. Now you throw it out. When I was on the radio, we paid in California approximately $140 a day for 14 minutes. And we couldn't afford a price. Other stations, we were in other states, we paid about $35 a day. I got a call. There's a guy back in the back east. And they have 16 radio stations. They're not really big, but, you know, they reach, you know, people in different areas. And he said, you know, I'd like to have you back on the radio. I says, well, you know, we are on the internet now. He says, yeah, but there are people that you can't reach on the internet, you know. And he said, the price is right. $12.50 for 14 minutes. I said, yeah, that's a good price. $12.50 for a program a day? That's cheap. He says, you know, we can put you in all the stations. They give you a package price. And you know, here I am again. We just barely functioning here, got the webcast just about paid off, equipment, and God is giving another challenge. I don't know yet where I'm going to go with that. But I want you to share that with you to show you that I am being challenged all the time to step out, another step out. I know this, if I do go on those radio stations, that there be people we will reach. There's not a question, not a doubt in my mind. Because people, when they drive in their cars, they listen to the radio. Acts 16, have you picked it up in verse number 6? Now, this is Paul. Now, not when he'd gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. After they were come to Mysia, they had sight went to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go to Macedonia, as surely gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel unto them. The gospel moved from Asia into Europe. God simply said, now, Paul, you cannot go in this direction. The Holy Spirit forbade him. Now you go in this direction. This is where I want you to go now. How significant was this move of the Holy Ghost? Well, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, and the letter to the Romans came into being because Paul obeyed the Holy Spirit. If you go back in history, and we really need to know our history to understand things. Martin Luther, the little fat Catholic monk priest, 1510 something in that area, was searching for God. Christianity was dead. The Roman Catholic Church had a death grip on the world. And what was it that Martin Luther read that brought to salvation? The letter to the Romans. The letter to the Romans. That is what saved Martin Luther, who stood saved by grace. Would you say that that was important for Paul to go into Europe? Look what Martin Luther did. If we hadn't had the Reformation, all of us would be going like, we all be Catholics. Again, I want to say this to you. You do not know the impact that God wants you to have on people around you. We got to understand that we might have 6 months left to go. We might have 5 years left to go. We might have 50 years left to go. We might have 100 years to go. We don't know. All the apostles thought this. Jesus is coming back in our lifetime. That's why they didn't get too well organized. We need to live like Jesus is going to come back tonight, but work like we have 500 years to go. Point number two, you've got to move here now. In order to understand your calling, you must be aware of the gifts that God has placed in you. God is not going to call a person to specific ministry without first having equipped the Christian with the gifts needed to do the job. You have gifts inside of you, laid down in you, that are ready to be used. God does not give a gift or a talent to a Christian that he does not have the capacity to develop. Turn to Matthew chapter 25. What God has done is simply this. You have a number of gifts laid down in you. You also have the capacity, the intelligence, the power to use those gifts and to bring them into total victory. Matthew 25, verse number 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered to them his goods. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Look upon that verse now. God has given you talents, gifts, according to your capability and ability. Then he that received 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them out of 5 talents. Likewise, he that received 2, he also gave out of 2. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants comes and reckons with them. And so he that received 5 talents came and brought out of 5 talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Behold, I've gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said to him, well done, you good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Behold, I've gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter you into the joy of your Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew that you were a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not strowed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the earth. Lo, there you have that is thine. His Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I not strowed. You ought therefore to have put money to the exchange, and then at my coming I shall receive my own with usury or interest. Take therefore the talent from him and give to him which has 10 talents. For to every one that has shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that has not shall be taken away even that which he has. And cast it unprofitable servant to the outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, God, as I said again, God has given us gifts. When you will not come to the great, not to the great white throne judgment, when we come to the judgment seat of Christ, he was going to ask you, here's what I did with you. You had this power, you had this laid down in you. What did you do with it? Well, you know, God, you know, I was timid. I couldn't do this. I couldn't do that. And I just kind of, you know, I was in church, you know, and I'm boop, boop. And God's going to say, you lost it. Think of that day that is coming. And say, I want to do something with my life. And it's fun to serve the Lord. If you have received a task to perform for the Lord, it is very important that you receive the equipment and power to do the job. Now, God has 3 ways of equipping his people. Let's turn to the book of Acts 13. That's Acts 13, verse number 6. Now, when I had to stand up to that guy with a syringe, I'd never done that before in my life. I'd not planned that out. God will equip you 3 different ways. He will move supernatural power through you beyond what you can in your own personal strength. Acts 13, verse number 6. And when they'd gone through the island of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus. By the way, Bar in Hebrew means son. And his name was the son of Jesus, which was with a deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so was his name by interpretation, withstood them, saying to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, you child of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you. You shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a season, and immediately They fell on him amidst of the darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Now, Paul did not know what to do. He had never experienced this before. But the Holy Ghost simply spoke to him. You've just read this very strong curse. And then he said, you're going to lose your eyesight. Secondly, God can release power and talent that he has already placed in you. And this is what happened to Gideon. Turn back to Judges chapter 6. And Judges, the 6th chapter. And we're going to read just a few verses here, but let's just start in verse number 1. Judges 6:1. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them to the hand of Midian 7 years. That's where we are. God has delivered us in America for judgment. Right? We feel it. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them dens which were in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them. And they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth, till you come into Gaza and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, they came as grasshoppers for the multitude, for both they and the camp were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. Now, they cried unto the Lord. And the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said to them, Thus is the Lord God of Israel. I brought you up out of Egypt. I brought you forth out of the house of bondage. And I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all who oppressed you. Drove them out from before you and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice. And there came an angel of the Lord, sat on an oak, which was at Ophrah, that pertains unto Joash the Abiezrite, his son Gideon, fresh wheat by the winepress, to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. The angel came up and said, Now you are a great man. And Gideon said to him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us, and where be all miracles which our fathers told us, say, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked unto him and said, Go in this your might, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent you? If you read the rest of the chapter, you find out that Gideon simply felt, you know, he was a nobody, he was a nothing. Didn't have any power. And the angel said, I have selected you. You have been selected. Go in your power. I do not believe it is an accident that you ended up at Resurrection Life of Jesus Church. Some of you have been there for some time. Some of you have been less time and so on. But I don't believe it is a fluke that you ended up here. Because God has a plan for your life. He wants to equip you. He wants the Holy Ghost to work through you. But you're going to have to make up your mind if you want to serve him or not. And then thirdly, if you don't have the resource in you, God can use another person or persons to be your helper. Before we turn to Exodus chapter 4, let me just say this to you. I had a vision a year and a half ago about webcasting. Do I have the money? No. Did we have the manpower? No. Did we have the knowledge? No. Did we have equipment? We had nothing. But what did we do? We prayed. We fasted. This church, we fasted every Saturday from 2 p.m. to 2 p.m. Sunday for one full year. Most of us did. What did God do? He supplied us with the finances, the equipment. He supplied us with people to run the equipment. It doesn't matter if I preach well or not. I can stand up here and no one is in a building and I will not go outside these walls. I need helpers. God spoke to me and said, this is what I want you to do. And he gave us helpers. God will give you helpers. And whatever you need. And turn to Exodus chapter 4. Have you picked it up in verse number 10? And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since you have spoken unto your servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. Does that sound like most of us? I can't speak. Don't have it. But you know, you can yap all the way you want. You know, when you talk about whatever you know, whatever you like. Isn't that amazing? And the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? I like verse 12. Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth, and teach you what you shall say. Now Moses here was dragging his feet. He didn't want to go. That's the problem in most of us. Some people are scared to come to church because they think they might get called and sent to Bangladesh or Somalia. And Moses said, O my Lord, send, I pray you, by the hand of him who you will send. Send somebody else. Can you imagine if God would say, okay, Moses, you don't want to be my man? Go back home. Go to your tent. And Moses would have missed the most exciting things that a man could have on this earth. You realize that? Moses' lady was brought forth and came and spoke to Jesus before he was going to the cross. Moses today is in heaven. He's a mighty man. And I'm sure he's glad that God forced him. And he says, oh God, thank you that you did not listen to my stupidity. What I said, I can't speak. I can't do this. I can't do this. I can't do nothing. I'm worthless. And the anger of the Lord was kindling against Moses. And he said, is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he comes forth to meet you. And when he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. And you shall speak unto him and put words in his mouth. And I will be with your mouth and with his mouth and will teach you what you shall do. And he shall be your spokesman unto the people. He shall be even, he shall be to you instead of a mouth. And you shall be to him instead of God. Now, Moses used Aaron for a little while. And then Moses decided that he could speak very well. He ran the show himself later on. How can we sum this up here now tonight? We sum it up this way. It comes down to this. Do you believe the Bible? And you don't have to tell me that. You just answer in your heart. If you believe the Bible, the King James Bible, if you're in another language, you got similar to a King James Bible. Don't believe in a bastard Bible. That's a different story. Then say this, okay, if I believe in this, I'm going to read this, and I'm going to believe this. Hello? Some of you might get a refund from the IRS. Some of you might have to pay. I feel sorry for that. My condolences if you had to pay. But let's say that you get a check back for the IRS. Are you going to simply hold that check up and say, well, I wonder if they mean it when they wrote that check? I don't know. I'm going to save it here for a couple of weeks. And you pick it up again and says, well, you know, they don't have a lot of money in Washington, D.C. They got some money spent, you know. I don't know if this check is good. Have you ever seen a red-blooded American with a refund check from the IRS not going to the bank? You ever seen that? You know what we do? Glory to God, man, let's go to the bank right now, cash it right now. Why is it? Because you got faith in an IRS check. Why can't we have faith and simply says, God, you saved me, you washed me in the blood, you are moving in my life, you're calling me, I'm excited, I want to do something for you. You know what he's going to do? He's going to surprise you and says, yes. All I can do not is to sum this up is to simply say this. You either believe or you don't. You will either be a dud or you'll be somebody great. There's nothing between. You either be successful or you'll be a one-pounder or one talent in the ground. You make the choice. I stand for prayer. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank and praise you right now that you were with us here tonight. And I want to thank you, Lord, for the great life that you allowed me and my wife to live, Lord. To the many exciting things and places we have been. For the many miracles we have seen, Lord. And people saved and people set free and healed and delivered. All kind of victories, Lord. Marriages put together. We want to thank you tonight, Lord. I want to thank you for that. And Father God, I pray for every man and woman here tonight. Or anyone who might hear this message, that Father God, they will think deeply when they drive home tonight. What am I doing with my talents? Did I dig them in the ground? Or am I using them? Father, let your Holy Spirit saturate each person here tonight. And I thank you, Lord, that there shall be no duds in this congregation, but only victorious people. And this we ask in Jesus' name, we believe it, we proclaim it, and we shout it. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all 3 questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these 3 questions are but 3 of God's 10 commandments. Failing just 1 commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are 3 places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of 2 places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
Listening to Pastor John S. Terrell of Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. This message was the second part in the study, Discovering the Gifts from the Holy Spirit, and was entitled Calling, Equipment, and Gifts. The majority of Christians are not baptized in the Holy Spirit, and those who are have difficulty understanding God's calling and their gifts. Pastor John spoke about serving the Lord with boldness and being secure in your calling. All Christians are called to serve the Lord, but that doesn't mean all believers must go full-time into the ministry. Furthermore, God doesn't call a person to do a job without first having equipped them with the capacity to finish the task. It is our prayer that this study left you with the desire to walk closer with the Lord and firmly know His plan for you. This message is available on cassette, CD, and DVD. When ordering, ask for Bible Study 1176. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can learn more about Pastor Terrell's ministry, read insightful articles, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the toll-free number in the United States is 1-888-708-3232. That's 1-888-708-3232. For calls from outside the U.S., the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.